Alright, let's take a board. Today's daf is Sadik Vav, and believe it or not, we are starting on Sadik Vav. So the Gemara says, fine, top line. I'm going to ask you, so we'll say, you remember our sugya from yesterday is all about Kalim. Specifically, at what point in time does a Kalim lose its status? Lose its status as a Kali. Remember again, Rabosai, the sugya uses the lashon of tahor, as I mentioned yesterday. So tahor, in this context, means something a little bit different. Tahor, yes, means generally free of tumah. Here, tahor means free of kli status. So the Gemara says, as we left off yesterday, with the Gemara telling us the five different cases of kli cheres. In different cases, depending on the size of the hole in the kli, the kli loses its identity for different matters. Amar Rav Asi, Shonin, we learned kli cheres shi'uro bekones mashke. So remember again, we learned yesterday that one of the shi'urim for kli cheres is kones mashke, is if it has a hole that allows it to take in liquid. We saw it on the base that would disqualify for being a kli in certain regards. Below amru motzi mashke, elu le'inyan gistra. And the only time we said that if a kli has a hole large enough to go ahead and allow liquid out, that would disqualify the kli, is le'inyan gistra, is in terms of a shard. Meaning, both say, remember, we've always worked with the assumption that the difference of the kli cheres is even a broken kli cheres does still retain the identity of a kli for the simple reason that you could always use it as a shard. The shard can be used as a basic receptacle as well. But the Gemara says if the shard itself has a hole that allows liquid to leak out, then halacha lemaaseh won't even be classified as a gistra. Nighttime, well, what's the reason? Amar Marzucha, Reid Rav Nachman, Lefisha in Omrim, Haba Gistra, the Gistra. Because people don't say, bring a shard for the shard. What does that mean, Abo say? That a person is not going to say, the shard has a leak, so let's bring another shard to put under the first shard to make it a whole shard. So once the shard, mamish, can't even contain liquid because it has a leak, halacha lemaaseh even loses its status as the most basically. Amar Ula, pliga ba, shei amorai b'ma'arava. So Ula said, two amorai in Eretz Yisrael had a machlokis about this. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Amin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zavda. What's the machlokis? Chad amar kimotzi rimon. The Chad Amar Kishoresh Katan. So we'll say what the Gemara is doing over here is the following. The Gemara is pointing out the poles of the Machlokas. What do we mean? That we saw a number of different opinions yesterday. But if you want the extremes, so there's a Machlokas in Eretz Yisrael. What is the size of a hole? What is the size of a hole in a kli that essentially would render the kli unfit to be a kli, or would lose the kli to lose its kli status? So the Gemara says, two Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael argued about this. One said Kimotzi Rimon. One said ultimately the size of a pomegranate, which is what we saw yesterday. The Chad Amar Kishoresh Katan. And one said the size of a small root. The Simanich. And the Gemara says, and the way to remember this is, thank you. Echad hamarveh, the echad hamanit. So the Gemara says, the way you can remember this is that one says a lot and one says a little. Remember, the Gemara borrows this lashon from echad hamarveh, the echad hamanit, ubilvad shiachabin libo l'shamayim. This is a general statement that whether you do a lot or whether you do a little, as long as your kavanah is l'shem shamayim. Don't get excited. It doesn't mean you have a choice to do a lot or to do a little. We all have to do a lot. I'm sorry. So if he's just saying if you want to remember, if you want a good memory device to remember what are the shiurim, what are the poles of the shiurim by kli, just remember echad hamarbe rimonim, echad hamam it, even the size of a small root. Amar Rav Chinan Bar Kahana Mishmei de Rabbi Eliezer, kli cheres shiuro kimotzi zeisim. Rav Chanina Bar Kahana sent the name of Rabbi Eliezer that for a kli cheres, the shear, the size of the hole that renders it useless or unfit as a kli, is kimotzi zeisim, is ultimately the size of a hole the size of olives. Umar kshisha b'rei d'rava misayin ba mishmei d'Rabbi Eliezer v'hari hein ki kli galolim ukli avonim ukli adama. So I just want to point out, what was also intriguing is, when we saw parts of this sugya earlier on, so the Gemara always made the assumption that actually the shear was rimonim. But what now really comes out from our sugya is, Rimonim is only, it's not true. The real shear for the size of a hole that renders a stam kli of a balabos no longer a kli is the size of a zayif, size of an aleph. It's only after the kli has the hole the size of an aleph that if a person decides that he's going to use it for, for rimonim, then halacha lemaisa, the kli will retain the identity as a kli. But absent that additional das, a hole the size of an aleph will essentially take away the kli identity.
Doesn't matter where the hole is.
No.
No.
Actually, one of the interesting parts of this host, right? The only person it matters, the only shear that it matters out of all the shiurim we've seen, is the kimali revius. We saw an opinion that holds that if the kli can't hold a revius worth of liquid at its base, then it's not considered a kli. According to that approach, then the only time a hole will invalidate the kli is if it's somewhere clearly towards the base. But if it's on the top, but for any of these other shiurim, no one's making a distinction where the hole is. So you're saying, good, you can have a kli that's a tall kli, and it has a hole on the top, right? But the whole bottom part is usable. According to these shiitos, it would still render it unfit.
A shard is okay.
A shard is okay as a shard, correct? So the Gemara says the following. You could break it apart. You could break apart the kli and then use it as a shard. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says that once the kli has a hole the size of the aleph, then halacha lemaisa has the status of a kli gilolim. Kli gilolim is a utensil that was fashioned out of manure, or kli avonim, or stone utensils, or kli adama, or earth utensils. So we saw this before, by the way. There's a difference between earthenware and earth utensils. Earth kli adama was made from dirt and was hardened in the sun. Kli cheres was hardened by a kiln. We put it in fire. So there's a chilik between them in halacha as well. So the Gemara says once the kli has a hole the size of an aleph, then halacha lemaisa is treated like all of these other kelim. She'in mekablin tuma. Now these particular utensils are not mekabel tuma at all. Lo midivrei Torah, v'lo midivrei sofrim, nak midoraisa, nak midirabana. Look at Rashi. Harihi kikli gilalim, mishenikev kimotzi zayis. Once the kli has a hole the size of an aleph, afidu yachtum l'rimonim. Even if you went ahead and you set it aside for pomegranates, v'hadisnan kli balibatim shiurin kirimonim, gabi kli eitz tanilem sechas kelim. So Rashi points out, we're not going to get really very much into this now, but Rashi points out that it could very well be that the idea by a kli cheres is, once the kli cheres has a hole the size of an aleph, it's done. It's done. It's no longer a keli. Even if you're going to go ahead and use it for rimonim. The only time the shear for rimonim was mentioned was when? Was in terms of kliates. Was in terms of wooden utensils. So that, what Rashi's assertion is in and of itself subject to some dispute. It's not really important for our sugya right now. The point the Gemara is making is that halacha lemaisa, once the kli cheres has the hole the size of a zayis, it's treated like these other kelim that are not tamei, not midaraisa, not midrabanan. Uve inyer summit psil. And once you have some kind of, we spoke about this yesterday, summit psil literally means that the kli is enclosed. So once you have some kind of kli that's enclosed, this has the greatest ramification in terms of tumas ohel. Right? If you have a kli, you have a kli cheres that's inside, the under a roof, together with a mace, then halacha lemaisa, the kli contracts tumah from its inside. But if it's sealed, it won't contract tumah. So if you have the kli sealed, when is the kli? How long does the kli retain its kli status? Ach yifchas rubo. Until a majority of the kli is missing. Once the majority of the kli is missing, then by definition, halacha lemaisa loses its status as a kli. Hajnalach hamatznia. Says the Mishnah. Hazorik mirishus hayochid lirishus harabin. If one throws an object from rishus hayochid to rishus harabin, mirishus harabin lirishus hayochid chayiv. So we'll say whether you throw an object from rishus hayochid to rishus harabin, or from rishus harabin to rishus hayochid, you are chayiv. You are chayiv. Now we'll say the novelty over here is what is that under normal circumstances for hotzah you require a hakira, an hakira and a hanocha. So the Mishnah is saying over here that by throwing an object and the object coming to rest, that satisfies the criteria for Akira and Hanocha. However, Mirashus Hayochid Lirashus Hayochid. However, if you throw from one private domain to another private domain, Urashus Harabim Be'emtzah, and there's Rosh Hashanah in the middle. So what happens? I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. I throw an object. It leaves the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, enters in, flies through a Rosh Hashanah Rabin, and lands in another Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So what happens? What's the halacha there? Rabbi Akiva mechayiv. Rabbi Akiva says yechayiv, and Rashi points out taima mefarish b'gemara. We'll see why that is later on. V'chachamim pochim, and the chachamim said your pater. So the one says keitzan. So what's an example of this case? What's an example of this case of throwing from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Yachid with Rosh Hashanah Rabin in the middle? So the gemara says an interesting case. Shtei gusteros. Two gusteros. I will say, what's a gustero? We've had this before. Look at Rashi. Gusteros. Rashi says, Zizin hayotzin minakosel, umanichin aleihem nisarem lahalik. So we'll say, I don't know what a good English word for this is, but if you can imagine the following idea. You have a home, and you have beams coming out of the home. Coming out of the home. And what happens? You lay planks across those beams. So it's like a deck without the railings. That's a balcony. So a balcony without, but the chapo here is without. You'll see why without the. We'll get to it later on. But the rail, no railings. It's just a called an insurance liability balcony. You know, mamish, you just have it out there. Good. So what happens? You have shtei gusteros zukineged zubir shesarabim. So you have two of these unrailed balconies that are facing each other and Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So meaning you have Rosh Hashanah Rabim in the middle, and you have two homes facing each other on opposite sides of Rosh Hashanah Rabim. And these two balconies face one another. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Hamoshit va'azorek mizo luzu, butter, if you hand something, right? Hamoshit is hand something, zorek is throw something, from one to the other, you are potter. But yet, interestingly enough, shtehen bidiyuta achos, but if both of them are diyuta, now diyuta means on the same side. See, we'll say in case number two, instead of, let's say, the two homes facing each other, let's say both homes are on the same side of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. But what happens? The balconies extend over the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So now what happens? If now I go ahead and I hand Hamoshit Chayiv, if I hand something from one balcony to the next balcony, I'm Chayiv. But Hazorik Potter. But if I throw it, I'm Potter. Why? Shekach Haisa Avodas Halavim. Because this is how the Levim was done in the desert. Shteagolos Zu Achar Zu Birush Sarabim. Because how did it work when they traveled? There were two wagons, one in front of the other, Moshitin Hakrashim Mizu Luzu Avalo Zarkon. So we'll say the Mishnah says something fascinating. In the Midbar, what happened? Remember, let's say for the crushing, let's say for the boards of the walls of the Beis Hamikdash. So they carried them on wagons. So how would the wagons travel? The wagons would travel in two pairs of two. How would they unload the wagons when they stopped and they wanted to set up the Mishkan? So the guys in the front wagon would begin to hand the boards to the guys in the back wagon, and they would load everything off from the back of the back wagon. So the Gemara says, and now remember, we'll see in the Gemara that the space in between the wagons was Rosh Hashanah Rabin. So the Gemara says, that's the example of, now remember, what's interesting is, they would never hand from one wagon to the side. That's not how they handed. They only handed from the front wagons to the back wagons. That's the case of the Mishnah, Bidiyuta Achos. That's the case of the two balconies on the same side of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, handing from one to the other. So that's why the Mishnah says, if you hand from one balcony to the next across Rosh Hashanah Rabim, you're not chayy for that. You're not chayy for that on Shabbos, because that's not the way it was done in the desert. But if you hand from one balcony to the next on the same side of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, that you are chayy for, because that's how it was done in the desert. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says over here the following. Rashi writes, Potter, so in the first case, remember, is where the two homes are opposite each other in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So Rashi says, Shalom matzilu zrika v'hoshata b'melechas ha-mishkan mirushus ha-yachid lirushus ha-yachid v'rochav rushus ha-rabim mafsik b'neihem. Because remember, Rabbosai, when it comes to Melechas Shabbos, in order to be chayv for Melechas Shabbos, your melacha must resemble the way it was done in the Mishkan. And in the Mishkan, we never see an act of handing from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another Rosh Hashanah Yachid across the width of a Rosh Hashanah Rabin. That's not what we find in the Mishkan. He says, because again, the Levim never handed the planks from one wagon to the next going across. Rather, what they ultimately did was they really handed it, now again, technically speaking, it actually goes in both directions. Because remember, I phrased it to you when they were unloading. But the truth is, the opposite is true just when they're loading. When they're loading. Either way, the point is, it's always going from back to front, front to back, never across. Sha'arba agolos hoyu l'bnei Merari. See, Rashi just gives us the background. There were four wagons for b'nei Merari. Sha'yunosin kar she'a Mishkan. They were the one, Merari was the family that used to carry the boards of the Mishkan. V'hein holchin shtayim ke'echad zu b'tzad zu. And the four wagons would go ahead and go in groups of two, two in front of two. Ukishayu parkin es haMishkan lit on al haAgalos, and when they would take down the Mishkan to go ahead and put on the wagons, hayu ma'amidin haAgalos kederach halichasan shtayim zu eitzel zu samoch leMishkan ushtayim zu eitzel zu lifneihem derech halichasan laorech rishus harabim. And even when they were loading up the wagons, they had the wagon stationed in the same way that the wagons were going to travel. I both said the amazing part about the Mishkan in general, the incredible yisod, is Seder. There's order. There's order to everything. Successful living is structured living. If you have every aspect of your life, and obviously you can only structure so much, right? But that was part of the take-home message of the Mishkan, is that everything we do has to have a Seder. Nothing was haphazard. Nothing was just random. Everything was done with forward thinking. Everything was done with a Seder. So the idea, says the Gemara, is what you had is you had B'nai Merari standing in the backs of the two back wagons, standing behind the two back wagons, and whether it's for loading or unloading, everything went straight. There was no such thing as loading from one wagon to the next. But not across, only forward. Therefore, says the Mishnah, when it comes to the act of transferring. Now remember, as we'll see, Rabosai, the wagons themselves were Rishus Hayachid, or Rishuyos Hayachid, and this area in between was Rishus Harabim. So the Gemara says, therefore, we're only Chayiv for what he calls Diyuta Achos. One Rosh Hashayachid to the other Rosh Hashayachid on the same side of the Rosh Hashanah, but not from one Rosh Hashayachid to the other Rosh Hashayachid, you crossing the width of the Rosh Hashanah. Says the Gemara, Amud Beis. Michti. Zrika told them, the Hotzahi, sadly, was again to a very interesting discussion. Zrika, throwing an object, is a told them, is an offshoot of Hotzah. So also remember, we spoke about Avos and Toldos. So Avos and Toldos, so the Av represents the primary category of Malacha, i.e. the one that was done in the Mishkan, and the Tolda represents one that was not necessarily done in the Mishkan, but is pretty much the same. It's the same as the Av, and therefore again, we're also passing that Toldos are also Chayim Midoraisa. So the Gemara says the following, Michti, Zrika told of Hotzah. Throwing is a told of Hotzah. Hotzah gufa hecha ksiva. Where do we see the concept of Hotzah in the Torah? Amar Rabbi Yochanan de Amikra vayitzav Moshe vayaaviru kol b'machana. So what says interesting? So the Gemara says we see it in Shmos where the Torah says vayaaviru to the whole pasuk vayitzav Moshe. Moshe commanded vayaaviru kol b'machana. They put out the word in the camp. Lemor saying. Ish v'isha al yasu od melacha l'tshumas hakodesh. This was at the end of the collection for the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Don't do anymore." Vayikalei ha'am mehavi, and the people stopped bringing. The people stopped bringing their donations. So the Gemara says like this: Moshe heichad havayasib. Where was Moshe Rabbeinu? The Machane Leviyah. He was in Machane Leviyah. And what happened? Umachane Leviyah. And remember, Machane Leviyah was considered to be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The Ka'amar Luhu the Yisrael, Lo Safiku Vesevsu Mirshus Hayochid Didahu, Didahu, Lirshus Harabin. And what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Moshe Rabbeinu was making the announcement saying, do not bring any more donations from your Rishus Hayochid to Machin Olivia, which is Rishus Rabbeinu. So Moshe is commanding them not to do an act of Hotzah. So Moshe says, one second, Umimai de Shabbos Koi, Dilma Bechol Koi. How do you know that Moshe Rabbeinu put out this announcement on Shabbos? Maybe it was during the week. Umishum Tishleim Olei Melacha. And furthermore, maybe the reason he did this was not because of Hotzah, but rather why? Because there was enough, collected. It didn't need any more donations. So the Gemara says, "Ah, because I'll tell you why." Gamar avoda, excuse me, gamar ha'avara ha'avara miyom kippurim. Because make a gzir shava of ha'avara ha'avara from yom kippur. Ksiv hacha vayaviru kol b'machane. So it says over in the pasuk by the Mishkan, vayaviru. Literally, they caused to pass. Right, they disseminated the word throughout the camp. Uksiv hasam v'ha'avarta shofar trua, and it says over there in Vayikra v'ha'avarta shofar trua, which again is the pasuk by Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says mala halon b'yom aser, just like ha'avarta shofar trua refers to a day that was aser in melacha, afkan b'yom aser. So to over here it refers to a day that was aser, i.e. Shabbos. Ashkechas Shabbosai, this seems to be the makar for the concept of Hotzah on Shabbos. The fact that Gemara is now understanding, and the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu Dafka put out this word on Shabbos and didn't put out this word during the week, indicates that it was not just about stopping to go ahead and bring additional donations because they had enough. Rather, it was about making a halakhic statement that on Shabbos they may not carry from their own individual domains to the Rishus Rabbeinu of Machane Levia. So this pasuk then serves as the proof text for the concept of Hotzah midoraisa. Ashkechan Hotzah, Hachnasa minalad. So I will say, this teaches us Hotzah. And I will say, when we say Hotzah, we use that term very loosely, but the technical definition of Hotzah is what? Taking from a Rishus HaYochid out to a Rishus HaRabim. How do I know about Hachnasa? How do I know about transferring an item from Rishus HaRabim to what? To Rishus HaYochid? So the Gemara says, Svarehi. I don't need another pasuk for that. That's Svara. Nichdi. Mirashusu, Mali Afuke, Umali Aluye. Iluye, so Gemara says, because it's Svara. Because the truth is, once I know that transferring an item from one domain to another is Aser. Okay, granted, the paradigm the Torah gives me is from what? It's from Rishus Hayochid to Rishus Harabim. But once I know that transferring an item to another Rishus is Aser, what does it matter literally if I'm bringing it in or I'm bringing it out? What does it matter if it's Asa Hachnasa? However, the Gemara says, however, Mihu, Hotsa Av, Hachnasa Tolda. But at the end of the day, interestingly enough, Hotzah, taking an item from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, will be the Av Melacha, and Hachnasa, taking an object from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah, will be the Tolda. So the Gemara says, Umichdi, Ahamachayiv, Vahamachayiv, Amai Karila Hai Av, Vahamai Karila Hai Tolda. So the Gemara says, but at the end of the day, you're Chayiv for both. So why are you calling one an Av and one a Tolda? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Nafkamina, the E-Ognik, what the Gemara is asking is, what is the practical difference in calling something an Av and calling it a Tolda? Right? At the end of the day, they're both Asr Midda'araisa. So what's really the Chilik? Nafkamina, I'll tell you why it makes difference as the Gemara, the E-Ovid, Shtei Avos Bahadi Hadadi. Because if you violate two Avos Molachos, Bahadi Hadadi, at once, Inami shte toldos bahadi adadi, or two different toldos in one time, mechayif tarti, you chayif twice. So I will say, if I go ahead and whether this actually means that I perform two avos in simultaneously or in one halom, in one lapse of awareness, I am chayif two different, assuming I did this unintentionally, I'm chayif two different chatos offerings. However, but if I violate an Av and its Tolda, then what? Then I'm only Chayiv once. So I'll say, for example, if I were to go ahead using this logic, if I were to go ahead and I forgot it Shabbos, let's say, and I carry my Sefer, right, from my house into Rosh HaRabim, and back from Rosh HaRabim into Rosh HaYochid, I'd be chayiv only once. I'd be chayiv only once, even though I've done 2 acts of transfer, because again, that's the av and the tolda. And if you commit, if you violate an av and a tolda in one halom, in one lapse of awareness, you're only chayiv once. So the Gemara is saying that's ramification of telling us that hachnasa, taking an object from Rishus HaRabim back into Rishus HaYochid with a tolda, is important in a case where you violate the av and the tolda in one lapse of awareness. You will only be chayiv once for that transgression. Yeah,
immediately.
I'll come back. I'm going to get a refill on the coffee. So the truth is, Stephen's saying good. He's right. Meaning, because technically speaking, turning on the light would be havara, and turning off the light and turning off would be mechabe, extinguishing. Those are 2 sides of the same coin, but they're 2 different avos melachos. You'd be chayv twice. Correct. You'd be chayv twice. So the Gemara says the following: Ulu Rabbi Elazar. So both sides. So now again, remember. So now the Gemara says Ulu Rabbi Elazar. The Mechayiv Atol the Makom Av. Amai Kori La Av. Amai Kori La Tolda. So now the Gemara says, fine. But what about according to Rabbi Elazar? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, he says like this: Rabbi Eliezer paskins that you are Chayiv for a Tolda B'makom Av, right? Rabbi Eliezer holds that even if you violate an Av and its own Tolda, you are actually Chayiv twice. So according to him, then, what's the ramification of being an Av and being a Tolda? So the Gemara says, Hach the Havi B'mishkan, Chashiva Kari Le'Av. Hach the Lo Havi B'mishkan, Lo Chashiva, Lo Kari Le'Av. So the Gemara says, the truth is, it could very well be that according to Rabbi Eliezer, in Achinami, the only reason we call one an Av and one a Tolda is because the one that was done in the Mishkan, we call that an Av. But the one that wasn't in the Mishkan is really called the Tolda. But the truth is, it's only for identification purposes only. It doesn't actually have any other kind of ramification. So the Gemara says the following. Inami, other possibilities. Hach diksiva kari Av, v'hadalok siva kari Tolda. So it could be, or the one that's explicitly written in text is called an Av, and the one that's inferred is called the Tolda. V'ha'disnan, hazor, so both say, but according to that logic, that's which we learn, hazorik dalet amas bekoso. If one throws an object 4 amos, and it lands on the wall. So both say, we're gonna come back to this case. A little bit later, but just suffice it to say, the situation that the Gemara is dealing with, look at Rashi, bekoso, it's a little bit further up in Rashi. Kidemuki la bitvela shemena v'nidbekes. So the case is the following: where I'm standing in Rosh Sarabim, and let's say the case we'll see later on is you have a shmaltzi fig, right? So what happens? So you go ahead and I throw the fig, and the fig hits the wall and sticks to the wall. So the shaila now is: let's assume that the fig traveled the distance of dalet amos. So also remember, one thing we've seen already is that halacha lemaisa, you're only chayiv for transporting an object in dalet amos in Rishus HaRabim. If there's an akira and there's a hanacha, the item has to come to rest in Rishus HaRabim as well. So the Gemara is like this: I threw the fig against the wall. The fig traveled dalet amos. Miyutfa lemalam miyutfachim kezorik ba'avir. If the fig lands on the wall 10 tfachim above the ground, then what happens? I'm not chayiv. Why? Because remember, in Rosh Sarabim, the area, the airspace above 10 tefachim is a makom p'tur. I wouldn't be chayiv. Lemata miyut tefachim, ever below 10 tefachim, kezorek ba'aretz. Then it's as if what? It's as if I've thrown it on the ground itself and I'm chayiv. V'hazorek ba'aretz dalet amos, chayiv. And ultimately, if I throw in the ground, let's say I roll something on the ground, dalet amos, I'm chayiv. Zorak dalet amos b'rishus harabim minolam de mechayiv. So we'll say, here's something interesting. Here's what we know. We know about hotzah. We know about hachnasa. Right? We know about both of those cases. However we know them, whether we learn know them both from the Mishkan, or again, even if we just know hotzah from the Mishkan, but ultimately, we understand hachnasa just to be a logical derivative. But where do we know this idea that if you transport an item for amos in rishus harabim, that you chayiv also? Because remember, at the end of the day, we don't really seem to have a paradigm for that in the Mishkan. The Mishkan was a clear case of where you're going ahead and you're moving an item from one rishus to another. How do we know what's the source for knowing that if you move an item, dalet amos in rishus harabim, that you're chayiv for that? This is very interesting. So the Gemara says, Ra'am Rav Oshia, Shekein Orgei Yerios Zarkin Machteim Zelazet. This is interesting because the people, the weavers of the curtains of the Mishkan, apparently would share their sewing needles. I was going to say share their needles. Doesn't sound right. We're gonna share their sewing needles with one another. So what would they do? They would throw their needles to each other. So because that was the case of where you're having of correct. They were doing Rosh Saradim. They were making it Bepashas and Machana Levia. Machana Levia is Rosh Saradim. So they were throwing the needles to each other in Machana Levia, a distance of Dalaramas. So the Gemara says, 1 second, Oregon Machatin Lamalahu. Weavers don't use needles. Weavers use looms. So why would they be using needles? So the Gemara says, "Ela shekein tofrei yerios zarkin machatein zelazeh." So the Gemara says, "You're right. It's not the weavers. Bless you. It's not the weavers, but rather, again, remember, after the curtains themselves were complete, the curtains were made in panels. The panels themselves were then attached by different stitching. So you had weavers doing one thing, and then you had sewers going ahead and putting. So it's the sewers who were sharing needles with one another. The Dilma Gabi Hadadi Havu Yosvi. But maybe they were sitting next to each other, and therefore again there was no need to pass the needle one to the other. So the Gemara says that can't be, because Dilma Gabi Hadadi Havu Yosvi Matu Hadadi Bemachkin. That can't be because again, I guess when you're sewing, you do need a little bit of space next to the person that you're sitting next to. Otherwise, you'll end up sticking the person you're sitting right next to. So they couldn't be sitting next to each other. Dilma b'soch arba habiyasi. Aye, but okay. But just because they can't be sitting next to each other, both remember, a dalet amos is 6 feet. Right? Who says they have to be 6 feet away from one another? Ela amar of chista, Rav Chista says, you're right. So we have to reinterpret it. Ela amar of chista, shekein orgin yiri, orge yirios, zorkin bochir, Zorkin Bochir Biria. So what happened? So the Gemara says, you're right. So you know what happened? They weren't sharing needles. Rather, what was occurring was the weavers were going ahead and sharing. Bochir literally is a shuttle. It holds the spool of thread. So they would share their spools of thread with one another. V'halo ogdo biyado. Aye, but 1 second. But the weaver always holds onto the spool very tightly, because again, I guess if you lose control of the spool, all of your thread unravels. So they would always hold onto the spool very carefully. Why would they go ahead and throw it to one another? So the Gemara says, Beniska Basra. What are we talking about? The last piece of thread. So when I'm done with the spool, I finished off all of my thread. So now that I no longer need the spool, I would share the spool with the weaver next to me. V'hamakom p'tur ka'azla, aye. But wouldn't the area between the weavers be considered to be a makom p'tur? Ela, shekein orge yirios zarkin bochir l'sho'alehen. Rather, it must be that halacha l'maisa, those who are using these shuttles would go ahead and give it, after they finish with it, would lend it to someone else, or not even after they finish with it, but if they would lend it to someone else, the dilma gabi hadadi habiyasi. But I don't understand, how do you know? So the Gemara also, remember, the Gemara tried to come out, what was the case in the Mishkan where you had people throwing something or moving an object, dalet amos and rosh sarabim? So Gemara tried to say, it must have been when they were constructing the panels of the curtains. So Gemara said, one second, maybe they were sitting next to each other. So it can't be. Why? Because matu hadadi b'chafas. Because ultimately, they would interfere with one another when pulling the thread, when pulling the edge of, not the thread, pulling the edge of the curtain to make it tight. So they needed, the point the Gemara is making is, when weaving, you needed a little bit of space. You need a lot of space between yourself and the person sitting next to you. The dilma, shalchufei hava mishalchafi. Maybe they sat in a staggered fashion. So remember, sitting staggered would allow each one to have the space to be able to work, but doesn't necessarily put them at a distance of dalet amos one from the other. V'su mishe'ili mehadadi. And furthermore, when making the Mishkan, did people share utensils with one another? After all, the Hatanya Luda said, ish mimelachto asher hema osim. The Buzik says, each man from the malacha that they did, mimelachtohu oseh, ve'ena oseh mimelachas chaveru. Interestingly enough, the Gemara darshins that a craftsman, has his tools. Tools are very personal. So each person came with his own tools, and the Pashas, the Gemara says, they actually did not borrow tools from one another. Each person came with his own instruments. V'su, Mavir Dalet Amos Bereshus Harabim Minolon Demechayiv. So the Gemara says, okay, so at the end of the day, you have failed to produce a case in the fabrication of the Mishkan that deals with that deals with moving an item or transporting an item. Dalet Amos Bereshus. So where do we know it's from? Rather, says the Gemara, Elokol Dalet Amos Bereshus Harabim Gemara Gemirila. It's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that moving an object, Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah, is Aser. The only case we have from the Mishkan is the case of Mirashus L'Rashus, from one domain to another domain. But Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah is going to be a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. I'm sorry?
Keep going.
You're not chayv until you're only chayv when you stop.
One time, is it for many times?
It depends if you realize what you're doing. If any, as many times as you realize that what it is that you've done is wrong. Remember, we saw that's machlokes earlier on. In terms of, it depends. Again, that goes back to the previous sugya. In terms of halacha lemaisa, when are you chayiv for multiple chatos committed in one halam? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel mekoshesh. Remember, now we're going to deal also with the sugya going forward of the mekoshesh eitzim. The mekoshesh was the well, we're not going to define what he did. But the Torah says that Bnei Yisrael were b'midbar, v'yemtzu'u ish mekoshesh eitzim yom Shabbos. And they found a person being mekoshesh eitzim. They found a person being mechal Shabbos. Now we'll have to see exactly, the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly was the nature of the mechal Shabbos. In the mechal Shabbos, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, mekoshesh ma'avir arba amos rishus harabim hava. That the mekoshesh carried an object for amos in rishus harabim. That was his violation. In the Mishnah we learn, Tole Shava, he actually was a person who uprooted something that was growing in the ground. That was his Chol Shabbos. Rav Acha, Rav Yaakov Amar, Ma'amar Hava, he was actually gathering objects, right? Gathering detached wood, right? He was taking twigs of wood and gathered them up into a pile. That's called Ma'amer. So they both say all three of these are Avos Molochos. The point the Torah is making is he intentionally violated Shabbos, and that's why he was executed. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what form of execution, but it was execution nevertheless. So the Machlokis as to what was his Chol Shabbos. So the Gemara says, L'may Nafkamina, who cares? At the end of the day, what does it really matter what he did? The point is, we know that he intentionally violated Shabbos in the Midbar, and therefore he was executed. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why it matters. I found the Megillah Storim. Megillah Storim literally means a hidden scroll. I found in the hidden scroll the following. Rashi says, Megillah Storim, Shistirua, the fish in Kosvin Halachos. So in the days before Torah Shabbat was actually written down, he found that someone had written down something and they hid it away. Okay, and what did it say in it? It said, Vikasuv Bey, Isi ben Yehuda says, Avos melochos arbaim chaser achos. Isi ben Yehuda said there are 39 melochos. Okay, 40 minus 1. Ve'eno chayiv ela achas achos. And you're only chayiv for one. You're only chayiv one and one. So the Gemara says, Vesulo, is that true? You only chayiv once. V'hatnan, but we learned, Avos melochos arbaim chaser achos. Right, the Mishnah said, we saw this Mishnah, that you're, right, the Avos melochos are 40 minus 1. Behavina and Ban, we asked, Minyan alam, your boss, if you remember again, the Gemara repeated this about 15 times. And right, and the Gemara asks, why do I need the minyan? Why do I need to be told the number of melochos? After all, boss, I remember all you need to do is add up everything stated in the Mishnah, and you'll know how many melochos are. Why does the Mishnah have to, after stating all of the melochos, tell me the number of melochos? Ba'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shimason kulam behelam echad chayv akol achas v'achos. To teach me that if I performed all of these melochos in one lapse of awareness, I would be chayiv for each and every one. I would be chayiv 39 chatos. So the Gemara says, Ema, eno chayiv al achos mehem. So then what does it mean? What does it mean when the Mishnah says, excuse me, so therefore the Gemara says, what the Megillas Starim actually said was the following statement. The Megillas Starim said, eno chayiv al achos mehem. The Isi ben Yehuda said, there are 39 melachos, but you're not chayiv for one of them. You're not chayiv for one of them. But the problem is what? Isi ben Yehuda did not tell us which one. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Pshitale, dehamavir chayiv. So what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, Rabbi Yehuda, so now when they have this machlokis about the mekoshesh, so what comes out over here is each one of these opinions is weighing in by defining the mekoshesh as one of the melachos, that one is definitely chayiv for. What comes out of this three-way machlokus at what the Makoshesh did is, there's one thing for sure, that according to each of these opinions, this was not the malacha that Isi ben Yehuda said you're not chayiv for. So according to Rav Yehuda, pshitale da'amavir chayiv. According to Rav Yehuda, transporting an object, dalet amusun shesarabim, is certainly one of the malachos that you are chayiv for. Umas nisan, according to the Mishnah, pshitale de tolish chayiv. You are certainly chayiv for talisha, for uprooting an item from the place where it grows. Rav Achab Rav Yaakov, pshitale de ma'amer chayiv. According to Rav Achab Rav Yaakov, ma'amer, gathering, is certainly not the malacha for which Isi ben Yehud exempted you for. So the Gemara says, mar savar ha mihas lo misafka, umar savar ha mihas lo misafka. So both say, the Gemara says, the point over here is that the reason why each of their opinions are important is at least if we try to understand Isi ben Yehuda's position, that there is one of the avos malachos for which you are not chayiv, each one of these opinions will put forward, they'll tell you for sure, according to Yehuda, mavir, according to the Mishnah, kotzer, and according to Rav Achar Bar Yaakov, ma'amer, these certainly would not be Isi ben Yehuda's malacha for which he exempted. Which of us, and again, we happen not to paskin like that, Megillah story of Isi ben Yehuda. One is chayiv for all lametes malachos, but again, apparently some wanted to reconcile their positions with Isi ben Yehuda, and therefore according to each of these opinions, they are stating a malacha that according to Isi ben Yehuda certainly would not be exempted. Alright, we'll stop over here. The Meretz Hashem, we pick up tomorrow with the sugya of the Makoshesh.